enabled me to do what I do, that's the same spirit that's on the inside of you that I'm going to send back to you. And boy, I'm talking about on the day of Pentecost, he fulfilled that promise. The righteous demands of God was met. The penalty for sin was paid in full. And boy, the promise that Jesus Christ promised them, boy, to send them back, boy, the third member of the Godhead, God himself, and the person of his Holy Spirit, to once again come live not just among us in tabernacles made by hand, but to live on the inside of us, in our spirit, man. A tabernacle that's created by God. God created you. And he created you a spirit being, just like him, with his character and with his nature. And in his likeness, that means function like him, think like him, talk like him, walk like him. How he function? He function by faith. That's a law in the kingdom of God. That's a law in the kingdom. Listen, there are some laws in the kingdom of God that we as the church got to come to the knowledge of. Like I told you, there's a lot of things in that's been hidden in the graveyard of religion. And the devil has preoccupied us with good things. Listen, when I be saying all these things about Christians and this and that, and I listen, I ain't saying that that's evil or that boy, that's going to send you to hell or nothing. I mean, those are good things. Trying to be like Christ, you know, trying to get to know your rituals and your ceremony and everything else, trying to draw closer to life, because that's all you know to do. Those are good things. But you got to understand something. The devil's most successful tactic against the children of God is to preoccupy us with the good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. What's the great thing, man? That's all of the kingdom of heaven. God has written a purpose and plan for your life. You can get back in on that. You can come to the knowledge of that. You can grow in that. You can come back into the Garden of Eden, man. And from that place, you can live your life. You can live your life not trying to get saved. You can live your life from the saved place. Sometimes we be dreading about it. We try to quit sinning and quit doing this and live right so that we can get saved. That's backwards. You don't do all those things to get saved. You do all those things because you are saved. Say it again. A lot of things we're trying to do to gain favor with God. Listen, man, his grace is sufficient. You don't quit doing this and quit doing that and start doing this and start doing that to gain favor with God and to appease God. You do that, man, because you love God. And the reason why you love God, the only way you can love God that way is he got to show you something first. He got to show you that he first loved you. He first loved me. He first loved us. He showed his love for us that even while we were yet in our sins, he hung, bled, and died, redeeming our lives again from that destruction. So the devil preoccupies with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. What's the end? Yeah, you're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman of the Most High God. You're a ruler in the earth. You got power over all the power of your enemies. Ain't a devil in hell, boy, can stop you from reaching your destination. The only thing that can stop you from reaching that, man, is unbelief. And the only thing that can constitute unbelief is you, man. But boy, if you choose to believe, what? This is life eternal, that you believe on him who he sent. What's life eternal? Zoe life. How you live the life of God, that kind of life? You believe on him who he sent. Who he sent? Jesus Christ. That's why I told you, Jesus Christ come to show you you. Come to show me me. Come to show us us. What you mean? He come to show us who we are. Come to show us, man, what we can do. Come to show us where we come from. Come to show us where we going to end up in. Where Jesus Christ came from? He come from heaven. He come from the Father God in heaven. Where he is right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father God in heaven. But he come to show us that, hey, in this dispensation, man, listen, you have been raised up and made to sit together with him. I'm not talking about a literal place. I'm talking about a position. What? I'm talking about next to God. Next in authority. The power of God, man. The glory of God, man. I'm talking about boy. Little kings, little lords, little G gods. That's a place of position. Not a geographical location, but a position in God. That's seated at the right hand of God. Position in him. Just like Joseph boy was next in succession to the throne of Pharaoh in charge over all of Egypt, man. It wasn't nobody more powerful in Egypt but Pharaoh. The same way you and I have been made to sit with Christ Jesus in heavenly place. That's a place of possession with authority over the earth. God got the ultimate authority, but boy, I'm talking about you next in succession. Just like Joseph was the prince of Egypt. Boy, you the king of the earth. You the little king. Under the authority, the influence, and the power of the capital K king, the king of kings, Jesus himself, who is the God, who is the Father God manifested in the earth. Remember what we were saying earlier? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light began to shine in darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. He came to his own. His own received him not. And I share this message with a lot of people. Sometimes go in one ear and come out the other, man. And sometimes people say, yeah, that's a good message and everything else. But you know what, man? They don't grab a hold of that. See, it's one thing to hear the message, man. It's another thing to receive it. Receive comes from two words. It's a grammatical construct. It's a prefix and a word. The prefix is we. That means go back. The word is see. See means to have. To own. Receive means to have again. To have again. So as many as received him, what? The life. You had it in the Adam man before they fell and ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before they men partook of the curse of sin and death. You lost that in the Adam boy. I'm done by boy, but Jesus Christ come to restore it back to you. Now your responsibility is to freely receive it and freely give it. As you, the Bible says, as you have received the gift, even so administer the same one to another as good steward of the manifold wisdom and grace of the Most High God. What's our responsibility in the dispensation that we live in? To receive God's grace and to administer God's grace. To receive God's kindness and to administer God's kindness. To receive God's love and administer God's love. To receive God's forgiveness and minister God's forgiveness. To receive God's life and administer God's life. To receive the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world and minister that same thing one to another. Winning souls to things that God is doing. That's winning souls to the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? That's what God is doing. What's the kingdom of heaven? That's the literal place, man, where God rules and reigns and have power and control of. And when we get back into the kingdom of God, we're seeking first the kingdom of God, what God is doing, then we can begin to experience the kingdom of heaven. What's going on in the literal place, we can begin to experience that in our lives here on earth. Just like it is in hell. But you've been praying for all your Christian life. Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done. Then the next request is say, now, Lord, give us this day, what, on a daily basis, everything that we have need of to assist you in accomplishing that. Accomplishing what? Your kingdom in our lives and your will be done in our lives. Many are the plans in a man's heart. And listen, no, I ain't talking about the evil. I'm talking about good plans and God-fearing plans. But it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. Say that again. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord is going to prevail. The devil preoccupies us with what we can do for God at the expense of men, us coming to the knowledge of what God wants to do for us and what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. He wants to preoccupy us with what we can do for him, when the kingdom of God is not what we can do for him, but what he has done for us and what we ought to do as a result of what he has done for us. What we ought to do: receive God's grace and administer it. Receive the Holy Spirit and give it. Receive the kingdom of God. Grab a hold to it. Lord, receive me to grab a hold to it, to seize and to place in your possession, Lord, all of the kingdom of heaven and all of the kingdom of God. That's your inheritance that belongs to us, that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. That Adam lost for us, that in Adam we all lost, but in Jesus Christ, it has all been restored back to us. Not a religion, not having good church service and putting on the program. That's all inclusive in it, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is for you to get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven, your kingship, your priesthood. I ain't talking about religious rituals and ceremonies and everything. I'm talking about representative of God. Representing God in the earth. Representing him what? Through our rituals and our ceremonies, our tradition. No, representing God on the earth through displaying his character and his nature on the earth. What's his character? His image, his likeness. And to function like he functions. To talk like he talks. Walk like he walks. Think like he thinks. Live like he lives. Because that's how he created us. The Bible saying, man, Psalms 82, we living and dying like mere men and mere women, when all the time we are mighty men and mighty women and children of the Most High God, offsprings of God, little G gods, little children of the Most High God, with his character and his nature, yet we living and dying like mere men and mere women. Hide that up because of a lack of knowledge. Lack of what knowledge? Of the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom, man? It reveals to you who you really are. Where you really come from. Why you really here. What you really can do. And where you really going to end up in. That's man's kind of age-old questions. From age all from time past all the way up until now. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here? That's purpose. Why? What we can do? That's potential. And when it's all said and done, where are we going to end up at? That's destination. Where, who are you? That's identity. Where you come from? That's origin. Where you originated in. You originated in heaven. You come from heaven. You come from God. You come from the Father. Our Father, which are where? In heaven. So you originated in heaven. He brought you down here to the earth. But for a purpose. For, so that through you, he can colonize and make earth a colony of heaven. That man, earth would be a colony of heaven. So that the same thing that's going on in heaven might be going on in the earth. That's our assignment, to make it on earth just like it is in hell. How? Through operating in those original laws that God gave mankind. Listen, I ain't talking about man the laws he gave Moses. I'm talking about some laws, man, that... See, if you don't know nothing, that's why the devil don't want you to grab a hold of the gospel of the kingdom, especially we as ministers. Let me talk to a minister about that for a while. You know, some of them might not hear, some of them might not. Just like they don't receive Jesus, a lot of them don't receive me either. But man, listen. Okay, Holy Spirit. That's a serious indictment against us as the leaders in the church. Because the church can only go as far as, boy, the leaders take them. And if the leaders don't know nothing about the kingdom of God and don't preach that message, then the church going to know nothing about the kingdom of God. They won't preach that message either. If the leaders get back to preaching, man, what Jesus Christ, man, told us to preach, and the congregation to grab a hold of the message. But Jesus Christ told the disciples to preach, go preach the kingdom of heaven and cast out devils and heal the sick. He didn't just go tell them to preach anything. He gave them specific instruction. He told them what to preach. Matthew chapter 10, he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power over all unclean spirits. And he told them, man, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the labors are few. Now you go, and I give you power over all the powers of your enemy. And he gave them specific instruction. He said, go preach the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. He didn't tell them to go tell the people about him. He said, go tell the people about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And cast out devils. Why? Because they're scared of that mess. Heal all manner of sickness and disease. Because, bro, that message, man, I'm talking about, boy, this lets you know that the same blood, man, the same body that bore your sins, man, on the tree, man, called Calvary, the same body, man, that bore all your sickness and disease. And the same Jesus that saved you from all your sins is the same Jesus that healed you of all your disease. What purpose that we don't have to be sick no more? Listen, we ain't the sick trying to get healed. We've been healed. The manifestation, the fulfilling of that promise, man, where he say, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, that's been fulfilled, man, 2,000 years ago. When Jesus Christ bore our sorrows and our griefs and carried our sins in him on his body on the tree, by whose stripes we were healed. We ain't the sick trying to get healed. We already healed. God had already healed us. What's happening in order? The devil's stealing our health from us. How are you able to do that? By keeping us, man, from the knowledge of it. And after, man, we come to the mind that is God's will to heal us, then, man, keeping us from the knowledge of how to appropriate that into our lives. How do you put that into your life when you get back to the original laws that God gave mankind? Listen, God gave the Ten Commandments, man, to Moses and the children of Israel. That's a long time after man, Adam and Eve time. Listen, Adam and Eve didn't have the Ten Commandments like the children of Israel did. Cain and Abel, they didn't have the Ten Commandments like God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel. In Noah's day, he didn't know nothing about the Ten Commandments. In Abraham's time, he didn't have the Ten Commandments. It wasn't until, man, Abraham descended and through, man, Moses, man, God gave them laws to live by. But that's not the original laws. Listen, there are some laws, man, that Adam had to live by. There are some laws that Cain and Abel had to live by. There are some laws that Noah had to live by. There are some laws that Abraham had to live by. That was before Moses and the Ten Commandments. So, man, what you're telling us, I'm telling you some laws that supersedes the laws that God gave the children of Moses. What do you mean it superseded? Boy, if you come to the knowledge of those laws, what laws is that? Not the law that he gave to the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments, the law that he gave to mankind, not just a nation of people, but the whole human race. Hallelujah. What law is that, man? Listen, that's the law of life. That's the primary law in the kingdom. And the church don't know nothing about it. He asked about the average believer. The average believer is about the laws of God and the commandments of God. Then they start quoting you, man, the Ten Commandments. And that's all. That's God. And that's all in the word, too. But I'm talking about a more pure word. I'm talking about, man, the original commandments. The law of life. What's the law of life? Well, that's what the king said. What do you mean what the king said? What God said. Listen, I'm talking about, man, what God said before that was a prophet. Before that was, man, in time past, he spoke to us through the prophet, boy, but I'm talking about a more sure word. When he spoke to Adam and Eve, man, before there ever was a prophet. Before there ever was Elijah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Hobadiah and all them other prophets, man, before there ever was any of them, God was speaking and God, man, was laying down laws. The first law he laid down is, listen, the word of the law. Let's get this established. Let me paraphrase. God said, let's get this established. What I say, That's what's going to go. Now, I'm going to say some things, man, you know, later on, you know, and it's going to be my permissive will. But what I'm telling you, Adam and Eve, from the beginning, that's my perfect will. Hallelujah. And just like the children of Israel, man, disobeyed God's laws that he gave Moses for them, the same way the human race that disobeyed the law that God gave to all mankind. What law is that, boy? The law of life. But what the king say, let that be the final thought in your life. Let that be, man, you know, what you stand on. Let that be what you act on. Let that be what you speak out of your mouth. Let that be the final thought in your life. Let that be what is, what the king say. Let that come out of your mouth. Let that get abundantly in your heart. Why? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth going to speak. And the man from the good treasure that he deposited in his heart, what he deposited in his heart? Boy, the law of life. What's the law of life? Man, what God said. What God said, let's make man in our image and in our life. And let them, who, mankind, have dominion. That's kingship. That's kingdom. That's authority. That's power. That's control. That's influence over what? Over everything in their lives here on the earth. Let them reign on the earth. Who said that, boy? That's the law of life. That's God's first word that he said. I ain't talking about through the prophets. He spoke that himself out of his mouth. Let's make them in our image, in our life. And boy, the very fact that they came out of his mouth, that's the law of life. Maybe that's what it is. I don't care what it looked like. Listen, it wasn't nothing but darkness on the face of the deep, man. There was no light nowhere. And boy, the word of life came forth. What? Let there be light. Light be. But that is, that's the word of life. And it changed darkness into light. It'll change a lost soul into a saved soul. It'll change a sick soul to a sick body to a healed body. It'll change poverty to wealth. It'll change everything that's in it. It'll change your whole character, our whole nature, our whole being. But the word of life. Paul got a revelation of it, man, in Romans chapter 8. He said this. First, Paul said in chapter 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, listen, it's like a pillow wall going on. In my spirit, man, I want to obey God's word. I want to, man, I want to be everything that I see that God's word says I can be. If he say I can be holy and without blame, I want to be that. If you say I can live without sin, man, I'm going to be there. Listen, when you really grab a hold of that, man, you ain't trying to see it. That doesn't mean you won't see it. Man, you be, listen, that won't be your desire to sin. You'll be coming out of sin. You won't be going into sin. And when you do fall short of the mark, man, then, man, I'm talking about he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Why? Because, boy, he said something. Let's make him in our image and our likeness. And though we fell short of that and out of disobedience, man, that don't alter the word that I'm called forth out of this mouth. That's the law of life. It's life in that word. Remember what we said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, the word was God. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Then later on it say, and the word became flesh. It's called a little bubble something. In Mark chapter 8, it say It go on from chapter 7. Paul was saying, man, the thing that I want to do, I can't do. The thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. In my heart, I want to obey, and I want to walk out right before God. I don't want no sin in my life, man. I ain't trying to sin. I ain't trying to use grace to cover up sin. I'm trying to come out of sin. I'm trying to live holy and righteous and upright before God, man. I ain't walking into sin. I'm walking out of darkness into the marvelous light. That don't mean that I won't fall short, man. But if I sin, I mean, I let them know that, man, we can walk in the reality of God's word. But if I do sin, then, man, all I do, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he said, hey, man, because I'm in Christ Jesus, then the law of the Spirit, he said this first, he said, but there is no condemnation. Even though I miss it sometimes, even though I fall short of the glory of God, yet there is no condemnation. ain't just wholesale across the board. There are no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the natural man, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set you and I free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? Adam's disobedience, man, and rebellion against the known will of God that sold all of us into slavery and caused us to be born in sin and Satan iniquity and separated from God, where the Holy Spirit could no longer live in us, where we could no longer live in the Garden of Eden in the presence of the law, where we had to worship from afar. Why? What was that? Why was that? That's because of the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sinned shall die. What that is, God said, listen, you can eat off any tree in the garden that you want to. Any of them. But don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can. I give you free will. I give you liberty. That's free will. That's another law in the kingdom. The perfect law of liberty. I make you a free moral agent. I ain't going to force you to do nothing. You choose. I said before you this day, life and death, blessing and cursing. But you choose. And then he didn't just tell them to choose anything. He said, choose life. Don't choose death. Choose blessings. Don't choose the curse. Because if you choose life, then you and your children and your children's 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 children shall live forever. If you choose the blessing, then you and your children's 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 children will be blessed forever. That's a law in the kingdom called a perfect law of liberty. You choose. But let me give you a heads up. If you choose to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you choose to reject the word of life, if you choose to reject, man, my will and my plan for your life, if you choose to reject the life and the blessing, then you're automatically going to get the debt and the curse. But the choice is still yours. That's a perfect law in the kingdom. What is that in the Bible? In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and God told them, hey, listen, you can eat off all the trees in the garden that you want to. That's liberty. Freely. What's sin and death? He said, but if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you shall surely die. What they did, they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What they had to do? Sin and death. That's a law. You shall surely die if you rebel against my will and my plan and my purpose for your life. What they did, they rebelled against his will and his plan and his purpose for their life. What happened? They got separated from God. They got put out of the Garden of Eden. They got separated from the Holy Spirit. They died spiritually. What's spiritual death? Separation from God and his plan and his purpose and his destiny for your life. His original plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. Not his permissive will and plan and purpose and destiny for your life, but his perfect will. But that dear boy, they got separated from that. Boy, I'm talking about the love of God. Boy, that's another law in the kingdom called the law of love. Remember when Adam and Eve just disobeyed God and everything else, and they found themselves, man, naked, they were not clothed with the righteousness of God, with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of the Lord. No more, boy. Hallelujah. But God loved them yet and still. Even though they disobeyed God, man, even though they did everything they could, man, to try to redeem their lives from that. What do you mean? Are you men disturbing the Bible where they say they men took fig leaves or leaves from the trees or the plant and tried to clothe themselves up? But the love of God was displayed in that. God, man, say, listen, while they was in their sins, while they was naked and unclothed, God loved them so much, boy, that God provided a covering for them. God provided, man, a clothing for them. Hallelujah. But that is, boy, that's the love of God. What the Bible say, boy, God showed his love for us that even while we were yet in our sin, Christ Jesus hung, bled, and died with a covering for us. Provided righteousness for us. That's the love of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, boy, listen. Blessed be the Lord and God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place and has covered us in his love. but it done what? Has already blessed us. And where we are covered in his love. That's the love of God, boy. He covered all our sins. Even though y'all, our sins like scarlet, man, he loved us so much, man, that he, the Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sins. Just like his love, he displayed his love, man, when he clothed Adam and Eve, man, with the skin of an animal, boy, that he provided. A lamb that he provided. The coat from a lamb that he provided. He covered them. Ain't nothing they could do to save themselves and to redeem themselves from that law of sin and death that they brought into existence. But God's love, like I say, Bible says, covers a multitude of sins. That's all our sins. That even while they were separated from God and naked and afraid and hiding, God come in and clothed them, man, himself. Well, with that, that's God showing, boy, the royal law of the kingdom. Well, then, the law of love. That while Adam was in his sin, God redeemed his life from that destruction. And then he promised himself. That's another law in the kingdom. The law of promise. He said, I promise you something. Your sins have separated you from me, but I promise you something. I'm going to come, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction, and I'm going to restore back to you everything that you lost. What he lost? He lost his sovereignty. That's his kingship, his crown, his rulership, his sovereign reign over the earth. What he lost? He lost the Holy Spirit. What he lost? He lost more than going to be. That represents the presence of the Lord. Man, he's no longer in the presence of the Lord. He has separated himself from God. What God promised him? I promise you something, boy, that I'm going to come myself. I ain't going to trust this to no prophets, nobody, no nothing. I'm going to go through prophets as a means to an end. And in the fullness of time, I'm coming myself in the presence of my son, Jesus, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction, and I'm going to restore you back to this place. What place is that, man? What position is that? A place of righteousness, where you're no longer naked, where you're no longer afraid, but you're clothed with the righteousness of God. What righteousness of God? The Bible says in Corinthians, man, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our behalf. Who are you talking about? You know the story. He's talking about Jesus. He took, man, our sins, and put it on Jesus, man, and nailed it to a cross. He took Jesus' righteousness, man, and put it up on us. That's why I say, man, on the mountain, what they call transfiguration, where they saw a great light, I call the mountain a transfer. When God transferred, boy, listen, more, his righteousness to us. Transferred, boy, his life that he lost in Adam back to us. Transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And he said this, I confer unto you a kingdom. What's that, boy? That's the royal law in the kingdom, man, called the law of love. And, man, God's promises to mankind to redeem our life from the destruction himself and to restore us back to our original place in God. That's the law of promise. That's a promise that God made to all mankind. What? I promise you something. What? I'm going to fix this up. I'm going to cleanse you up. I'm going to provide a covenant for you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to redeem your life and destroy you. I ain't going to trust that to nobody, no angel, nobody. I'm doing that myself. Why? Because you mine, said the Lord. You belong to me. Glory to God. And you're his prized possession. Think he's going to leave us, man, in slavery to Satan and the bondage of Satan, man? No, Lord. He displayed his love, man, and redeemed us from that and fulfilled his promise, what? To restore us back to our original place. That has he done that. The promise has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. The promise has been fulfilled. What we got to do, we got to come to the knowledge of it, man, and then, man, help God, man, bring his people to the knowledge of it. Well, that you've been clothed with the righteousness of God. that that promised man to restore the Holy Spirit back to you and restore you back to the Garden of Eden in the presence of the Lord, that that promise has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. What's our responsibility? All our responsibility is to take, man, a gift that God gave us. Faith is a gift. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, we quoted it earlier, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we all got this. Ain't nobody got more faith than the other. So some of our faith might be more developed than others, but everybody got the same amount of faith. Listen, a little bitty baby boy got the same muscles, man, as Arnold Schwarzenegger had when he was, man, a muscle building on top of the world with his muscle building ability. The same muscle that he have or that the weightlifter have and everything else is the same muscle that a little bitty baby boy has. Only difference between the two is development. But they got the same measure. That's what the Bible says. God has dealt to every man the same measure of faith. Some faith is just a little bit more exercised and developed than others. How? By reason of use. By reason of working your faith. By reason of exercising your faith. How do you do that? By, man, believing God's word. What faith is? Faith is a noun. That's something that you have. What belief is? Belief is a verb. That's something that you do. What you do, you act on the word of God. You apply the word of God to your life. You don't just be a hearer of the word of God, because you got faith, man, be a hearer. But boy, when you begin to believe, what believe mean? When you begin to do. When we begin to be not just hearers of the word and preachers of the word and teachers of the word and singing songs about the word and having church around the word, but when we begin to, boy, apply the word. When we begin to, man, put practical application to the word of God, when we begin to step out on God's word, when we begin to act on God's word, when we begin to, man, speak it, man, and believe it, what that is, that's action, man. That's acting on it. That's applying it to our lives. That's a verb. That's belief. That's the application of God's word. You got the faith, and when you begin to apply God's word, then that's exercising that faith. And what's happening when you exercise that faith? And that little bitty muscle that that baby had, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was a little bitty baby, he couldn't pick up 200 pounds, 300 pounds. But boy, he began to believe that he could. Hallelujah. When he began to act on it, right? Start building, start lifting those weights. What are you doing? He's believing now that he can pick it up, man. Even though he can't at first, but boy, he began to believe it. Then he believed, then he started acting on it. He started with lifting 10 pounds, then 20 pounds, then 40 pounds, then 100 pounds, then 150, 200. That way he can reach 400 pounds. Why? By reason of use. That's faith, man. That's a faith, man, with works that go along with it. But it is belief. But it is acting on the word of God. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about laws in the kingdom, that if we operate according to those laws and begin to function according to those laws, then we will establish all of the exceeding great and precious promises that God has for our lives and our lives here on the earth. That's what will bring glory to God. Look there, when we begin to, man, operate according to the laws of the kingdom. That's what's going to, man, cause us to be able to manifest God's glory in the earth. When we begin to apply God's word to our lives. How do you do that, Arthur? By faith. What faith is, man? Faith, man, is what you have, the ability to trust God. What's belief? Acting on that word of God. Applying that word of God. That's three stages of the word of God. You got the first, man, observe it. That's observation. You got to first see and find out what it say. That's observation. Then you need interpretation. That's why God said, I give gifts unto man, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. So you need, he give us gift to help us interpret it, to help us, man, understand what it's saying, to help us, man, you know, to not only see what it's saying, but then understand what it's saying. And then the third and most crucial stage is application. Well, observation, interpretation, and application. If we're not careful, we'll get preoccupied with the first two. We'll read the Bible, see what it say. We'll listen to the word of God and hear what it say. And then we'll get, we'll continue to listen to it and good teachings and preaching. And then we'll start getting some clarity and some understanding. And that's all good and everything else. But the third stage is the most crucial. And that's where we be missing the manifestation of what we have observed and understood. But that's the application of God's word. That's belief. That's acting on God's word. That's being a doer of God's word. That's acting like you say, talking like you say, walking like you say, thinking like you say, acting like you hear, thinking like you hear, acting like you're blessed, thinking like you're blessed, thinking like you're king, acting on it and understanding it and hearing it here and then acting on it. What's that, boy? That's faith with works. And the Bible says faith without works is dead. Faith without belief is dead. You can have faith in God's word. You can say, yeah, I believe, man, that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, but never talk like it, never act like it, never think like it, never, man, you know, get to the application of that, acting like it. We still act like we sick. We still act like, man, we cold, broken, hungry. We got faith, but no belief. If you believe, therefore we speak, and we speak, then we act on that. We believe, therefore we speak. And then when we speak, we act on that. What you're doing now, that's living a life by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the functioning principles of the kingdom of God, how we're supposed to function in the kingdom of God. Listen, like I told you when we began this broadcast, hey, we've been out here and for years, and we've been talking about one message, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And the gospel about it is that that's available to us right now. In hope that after hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, they'll not be saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Some of you might say, oh, man, he's just saying one thing. He just preaching one thing. I heard that. But listen, if you ever hear it, you don't want to hear it again. Well, one message worked. Well, I'm talking about the greatest thing that ever been told. Can you imagine this? Everything that you're trying to get, man, God come tell you, hey, man, that's your inheritance. What you're trying to get, he's saying here. Yeah, what our Father did, he come down here to say to you and I, here. Here is the kingdom of heaven that we prepare for you. That you're trying to get to, I come to bring it to you. I come to bring it. I didn't come to bring you to it. I come to bring it to you. Now that I got that established, I come to reestablish that back in your life to help you rediscover it and then in your life. Now that you're in it, now, hey, listen, now you got to go on to receive the end of your salvation. But that's the salvation of your soul. But you got to be, man, we got to repent. You got to be renewed. You got to become that new creation in Christ Jesus. You got to become the head and not the tail. You got to become everything that God's word say. How you do that, Arthur? By applying, man, the laws of God's kingdom to your life. What? Law of life? That means taking, man, God's word face value for what it is. That's the word of the Most High God. He's not a man that he should lie. If he spoke it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to come to pass. If he said it, he's going to. Whatever he said, he's going to do. Whatever he spoke, he's going to come to pass. That's the word of life. When you grab a hold to this, everything else is going to pass away, boy, but the word of the Lord is going to abide forever. And the Bible says this here, if you seek that first, that was Matthew 6:33, man, when you say seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what God is doing and what God says. And when you seek first what God is doing and what he says, then we can begin to experience the kingdom of heaven in our lives here on earth, starting from the inside out. Why? Because you're operating now. Now that you're in the kingdom, now you got to learn, man, the functioning principles of the kingdom. You got to learn how to live in the kingdom. That's what we're going to get to, boy, in the next part, man, from here on out on this radio broadcast. But I trust that, boy, you have enough confidence, those of you who have been listening to our broadcast, that, man, through hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, that you have faith Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is within your reach, is at hand. And that you come to the knowledge that you have been trained, if you believe in Jesus Christ and accepted him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, then you got the man know that Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 said this, that God has translated us out of this kingdom of darkness that's influenced and motivated by the devil over into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And that that's your inheritance. And that your inheritance is in light, is in illumination, is in knowledge, is in understanding of that. That you were, man, and now that you realize that you've been translated out of it, that you're in the kingdom of heaven, now you got to learn the function and principles. That's what this ministry want to take God's people next. How to live in the kingdom. All we've been telling you that is the kingdom is available to you in hopes that, man, you have enough faith in it to come on in. And then after coming on in, now learn the function and principles of it. Learn how to walk in the reality of our salvation. Learn how to walk in the reality, man, of our healing that he has provided for us. Learn how to walk in the reality of, man, our deliverance that we have been delivered in. Learn how to walk in the reality of all the provisions that have been provided for us. Not just to preach about it, talk about it, not just to pray about it, but to see our prayers answered, to see your life fulfilled and full of joy. So that to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. How you do that, Arthur? Hey, by man coming under the laws of God's kingdom, coming to the knowledge of the laws of God's kingdom that supersedes the laws of Moses. It don't do away with the laws of Moses. It fulfills the laws of Moses in our lives. It fulfills the laws of Moses in our lives. What do you mean fulfill it? It causes us men to want to obey God. It wants to walk right before him. It don't cause us men to say, well, okay, I forgive a man, so hey, all I got to do it, confess my fault, and God forgive me. And I keep, no, it don't do that, boy. Let me tell you something. When you come to the knowledge of man, God, yeah, his love for you, you won't want to sin. You'll be trying to come out of sin, like I said earlier. You'll be trying to quit sinning. You won't just be walking into it. If you sin, it comes the weakness of the flesh. We have this treasure, but it's in these earthen vessels. So that when we do fall short of the mark, then we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the Lord, who ever lived, boy, to intercede for us, boy, at the right hand of the Most High God. Glory to God. That not only, man, you know, forgive us of our sins, but pardons us. Pardon. What do you mean? I'm talking about justified, cleared of all guilt. No records, none of that. Pardon. Not just on a probation, man, you know, or serve your time and that's it. I'm talking about pardon. No record of it. For the easiest from the west, he said, that's how far I moved. I put it in the sea of forgiveness. I remember your sins no more. Let me say this as we close, you know. Hey, when you understand the God's love for us and how God forgives us, we misunderstand that thing. We say we forgive one another, but let me tell you something now, because you don't really understand what you mean when you say forgive one another. This is how you can know, boy, if someone has trespassed against you or somebody has done you something and you forgive them, this is how you can know if you truly forgiven them. If what they have done to you that have hurt you or anything else, when it don't affect you no more. When it no longer affects you no more. When it don't have no power over your life. If the devil can dangle that circumstance or that situation, that symptom in your life, and it affects you and get you to operate, man, outside of the character and the nature, boy, of God and the forgiveness of God, then you haven't truly forgiven. You can tell if you forgive somebody, why? And what they've done to you don't affect you no more. The devil can dangle any circumstance, any situation, any symptom concerning that, and man, it won't get you off your mark and in your sign. It'll keep right on loving. Not just in word, but in deed. The true forgiveness. That's why God said, I put it in the sea of forgiveness. I remember it no more. What your trespasses don't affect me no more. their law. But that is, boy, those are the laws of the kingdom, the law of love, the law of the promise, the law of faith, the law of life, the law of liberty. And as we learn those laws and function in those laws and operate in those laws, then we're going to begin to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I believe this with all my heart, that God, that's where God is raising up the church to in our generation. For this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Preached into all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then, why the devil hate that message? Why? Because when that message is preached, the end going to come. But what happens in the end? In Revelation chapter 20, that's when the devil, the false prophet, the antichrist, liars, sin, death is cast into the lake of fire. Never again, man, to be able to see the nation no more. The end of Satan's reign, man, in the earth. Then in chapter 21, it says, now I behold a new heaven and a new earth. And it was on earth just like it is in heaven. That's in chapter 21. But in chapter 20, the end of Satan's reign in the earth, man, too. Fathers, all the fallen angels cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Never again able to deceive or interfere in the lives of mankind on the earth. Be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. What are we to do, Lord? While this taking place? Occupy. What do you do, boy? I'm talking about occupy. What? Amen. Grab a hold to it. Seize it. Place it in your possession and learn of it. Jesus said, amen. All you were heavy laden coming to me. My rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come learn about me. When I say learn about me, not just about what I did and who I am, but come learn the Lord say about what I see it. Come see what I see it. Begin to read the Bible in the light of what I see it. Begin to read the four Gospels in the light of what I preached. Not just in who I am and what I did, but what I preached. And as a result of that, you will discover something. The gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world that you lost in Adam's disobedience has been restored back to you through Jesus Christ's obedience. And all you and heavy laden can come to him and find rest from your soul. Where you cease from all your works, that don't mean you don't work. You cease from your works, your attempts to save yourself, your religion, your salvation, what you can do for the Lord, and you'll get in on what the Lord is doing for you. You'll get in on his work. And when you get in on his work, then his work is a completed work. And you start becoming who we already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Listen, I pray your strength in the Lord. I pray, boy, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened so that we might know what is the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of the power that's available to every last one of us who is believing. The same mighty working power that God used when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I pray that you come to the knowledge that that same power is on the inside of every last one of us as believers in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that we rise up and we take our place in the kingdom of God, not as servants of the Lord, but as sons of God. Hallelujah. No longer servants, but sons of God, offsprings of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. It's not decree and declare that, boy, I'm talking about we going from glory to glory and we going to stop, man, you know, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and we going to believe the gospel. What gospel? The gospel that Jesus Christ preached, that you come to the knowledge of it, and that you believe that gospel. But this is life eternal. That you believe on him who he sent and the message that he proclaimed. So I counsel every assignment of the devil that will stop you, man, from coming to the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Once again, so that you can know what is the hope of his calling you, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power that you have living on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost, that through that power and through that person of the Holy Ghost, that you and I might go forward, boy, and manifest God's glory in this earth. And listen, God loves us. And a lot of things that we're asking God to do, he's already done. There are a lot of needs and a lot of prayer requests that are represented out there on the sound of my voice. It's not decree and declare that God has already healed us, that God has already saved us, that God has already delivered us, and that God has already provided for us. And in those four categories, saved, healed, delivered, and provided for, is every need, every petition that you might make known to God. So I decree and declare to you that you're saved, you and your whole house, that you're healed, you and your whole house, that you're delivered from every snare and every trap and every bondage and every slavery of the devil, that you're delivered. And every need that you have in your life is provided for you already through the love of God and the person of his son that he displayed. I decree and declare that, boy, you are becoming who you already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. I decree and declare, boy, God's word over your life, the word of life over your life, that no weapon formed against you can stand, that I'm talking about everything that God has begun on the inside of you, he will complete it in the name of Jesus. I pray the peace of God that passes all understanding will flood your hearts and God's will for your life. I decree and declare that I'm talking about every need that's represented out there, every petition that you might have known, even the prayer that you were going to make to God right now, I decree and declare that we come in agreement and decree and declare that every need is met in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. This is my time is up. I love y'all with the love of the Lord. I pray God best for your life. If Gail and I can be of any help, you can contact us 713-870-3776. That's our number, 713-870-3776. We love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. Look forward to talking to you again next Saturday. Tell a friend about us and join in again. We love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.